Now please get your Bibles, turn them to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we will read verses 18 and 19, and then Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses, let me start with verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. And then verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. We want to continue our series on the elements of our worship service here in our congregation. We now come to the singing of hymns or psalms or spiritual songs. In this message, I will address three questions. Here's the first one. Why should we sing? Second, what should we sing? And third, how should we sing? So, why should we sing? What should we sing? And how should we sing? So first of all, why should we sing? Well, what I'm going to do is stick to my text as I approach this subject. Of course, there are many reasons why we should sing, but I want to be faithful to my text here. And so please go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. So Ephesians 5, verse 19, where we read, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, in this verse, there are three action words that I want to draw your attention to. The first action word is addressing. Addressing one another in singing. Or better yet, speaking to each other in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. And then the second action word is singing. And then the third one is making melody. Now, keep in mind that all these words are participles. When you say participles, they are verbs that function as modifiers. In other words, these words that we mentioned are not the main verbs of the text. They simply modify the main verb. So our job then is to find out the main verb that they modify. And for us to do that, we need to see the context. So let's go back to verse 18. So we see the context of verse 19. Look at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So right after this command to be filled with the Spirit, Paul says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, here's the question. In what sense do the participles in verse 19, the three words that I stated, in what sense do they modify the main verb in verse 18, which in this case is the last part? There are two main verbs in verse 18. Do not get drunk. It's an imperative. It's a command. And then the other one is be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I do believe that the three participles in verse 19 modify the verb be filled with the Spirit. And so the question is, in what sense do they modify this imperative, be filled with the Spirit? Well, we can say that the participles are the results of the action of the verb. In other words, what Paul is doing is this. He is commanding his fellow believers in the Lord, asking them to be filled with the Spirit. And as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit, you will therefore begin to speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you will begin to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. So in other words, in this context, the singing in general, because really that's the essence of what we see in verse 19, the singing is an overflow of the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, you cannot but sing of God's praise. It's like probably boys and girls, when you have a glass here filled with water, it will overflow and keep overflowing. And that's precisely what we do when we sing to the Lord. We sing out of that overflow of the filling of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, I think that the participles in verse 19 are also means by which we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, in response to the question, how can you be filled with the Spirit? Then we have the answer in verse 19. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit by speaking to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, by singing and by making melody. And it's true, isn't it? That whenever we sing, you start being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like if I say to you, be strong. It's an imperative. And so I say to you, be strong. And then I add three participles to modify my command. Be strong, exercising regularly. getting enough sleep, and eating healthy food. So those three participles are modifying the command, be strong. And so you ask the question, okay, Pastor Brian, you want me to be strong. How? Well, by eating healthy food, by exercising regularly, and by having enough sleep or rest. And so that's what we see here too. So Paul, you want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we attain that? How can we be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit? And Paul says, by singing praises to the Lord. Now, before we go further, it is important for us to understand the meaning of being filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? That's an important question. Well, first of all, we need to understand that this command is given to those who already have the presence of the Holy Spirit. They are already believers. And for that reason, we need to make a distinction between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Christ this morning, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is permanent. As we read from John 14, remember when Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, I'm going to give you another helper in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me read verse 16 of John chapter 14. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. So it's permanent. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you forever. And so, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the issue is not, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not depart from you. He will always be with you. Although sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit has left us. But the Bible makes it plain that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so here's the issue. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the point of the Apostle Paul here. He's asking us by implication, are we actually filled with the Holy Spirit? Again, the question is, what does it mean, Paul? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I think it's important to note that this command to be filled with the Holy Spirit is contrasted with the command not to get drunk with wine. Do you see that in verse 18? You see the first part of verse 18? Do not get drunk with wine. And then there is a contrast, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this simple question. Why do you think people want to get drunk with wine? I was only drunk once in my lifetime when I was 14 years old, when I was still an unbeliever. And the occasion was my birthday. My mom, she was so upset with me when I came home. That night, I remember I could not sleep well because I was so intoxicated that I could not sleep well. I was vomiting and vomiting, and I was only 14 years old. Now, why did I want to get drunk with wine? Well, it was my birthday. I thought that by getting drunk, I would be happy. Some people want to get drunk with wine because they want to escape from the reality of life. They want to forget their pain or problem. And now they want to get drunk with wine so that somehow they can experience that pleasure, that joy, that happiness. That's why in our culture, don't we have this expression, happy hour? Happy hour. It's a marketing term for a period of time in which a bar offers discount on alcoholic drinks. That's the attraction. Happy hour. Let's get together. Why? Because this is a happy hour. We will be happy. Yes, but temporarily only. So Paul says, you want to seek happiness? You want to seek joy? You cannot find the joy in wine, in getting drunk with wine. That joy comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so essentially, the meaning of being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. That comes from the Holy Spirit. No wonder why even Luke in Acts chapter 13 verse 52 can tell us, let me read that verse. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You see that parallel? They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And so when you ask Paul, okay, I want to be filled with joy. I want to be happy. Now, let's admit this. We all want to be happy. Who among us wants to be sad? We all want to be happy. There is that quest for happiness even in our constitution. We have that. That quest for happiness. But the problem is, we have many means by which we want to attain that happiness, that joy. But Paul says, you want happiness? Then come to the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His presence. And so another question is this. Okay, Paul, I get your point. But tell me, how can I do that? How can I be filled with the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit? Here's the answer. By singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. By singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts. Or like what I said earlier, those participles can also be the results of the action of the verb. In other words, if you are filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, you will exalt the name of the Lord. You will praise Him. You will sing His mercies. And I think that's really true. You know, you sing, okay? As you sing, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That means to be filled with the joy that flows out of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if you experience that as you sing, you experience that joy. You probably came to this place of worship downhearted, so discouraged, so distressed. And then as you sang the words of this particular psalm and you were strengthened. Now why? Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. It is your strength. And notice what the Bible says, and that's Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Where Nehemiah says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you sing, you are filled with the Spirit, you have the joy, and this joy will empower you, will strengthen you in time of your weakness and trial and difficulty in life. That joy that flows from God will help you still worship God even in the hour of your affliction. It will strengthen you in the time of suffering and even death. So much so that by the grace of God, you can echo what Job said in Job chapter 1 verse 21. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a song of praise in the midst of death. Or maybe even the song of Horatius Spafford. It is well with my soul, even if the Lord took my children away from me. You sometimes wonder, where did they get that strength to be able to praise God in the midst of trial, great trial? Well, that strength came from the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And understand, many of us are facing difficulties in life. We have many struggles. And the question is, how can you experience the joy in the midst of this great tribulation in life? How can you even move on? Where do you draw power? Well, it is the joy of the Lord. And you experience that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the means by which you can be filled with the Spirit is by singing songs of praises. That's why even the secular psychologist would say, when someone is depressed, someone is going through like severe depression, they would say singing is therapeutic. Listening to classical music. Now, we have better song than that. We have the very words of God that we can sing. We have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You see, what happens is, as you are being filled with the Spirit of God, you experience the joy. You feel like, reverently speaking, intoxicated with the presence of God. You know, some historians would refer to the Puritans as God-intoxicated people. And I think, reverently speaking, we can say that when we are filled with the Spirit, we are drunk with the joy of the Lord. We are being controlled by the presence of God. So feel so joyful that we can sing, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength. From day to day, without Him I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend. So Jesus becomes everything to you. That's why the Bible is so careful. It does not say the joy of your children is your strength. Yes, as parents, we acknowledge that our children bring joy to us. Not always, though, with all due respect to our children. Sometimes they bring sadness. And vice versa, children can say, well, that joy does not come really from my parents, because my parents don't always bring joy to me. And that's true too. We admit that, parents, right? That joy does not come from our possession. It does not come from your business or company. It does not come from your money in the bank. It does come from whatever you possess in this world. It comes from the Lord. And that kind of joy is your strength. That kind of joy is your power. That joy will keep you going. Asaph said, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Here God becomes Asaph's supreme joy. He finds his highest joy in the presence of God. He is filled with the Spirit. And so, young people, let me challenge you. I know the temptation. I like what I said. I was drunk before. We wanted to seek that happiness in that happy hour, quote unquote. But listen to what David says in Psalm 4, verses 6 and 7. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. God can give you more joy than wine can. Now, again, the last thing you want to do is accuse Paul of this teaching that Paul is saying we cannot drink wine, period. You do that, you misunderstood him. He's not saying that. What he's saying is don't get drunk with wine. That's the issue here. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with that joy that overflows from God? If you don't have that joy, you don't have strength. You don't have strength, you cannot make it. You will continue to go down deeper, deeper in your depression, despondency, in your distress. Come to God and be filled with His Spirit. But here's the question again that we want to seek to answer. What should we sing? Yes, we have the answer. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But what do they mean? What do they mean? Now, first of all, the word Psalms in verse 19 refers to Old Testament Psalms. Luke chapter 20, verses 42 and 43, we read, "For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" So the New Testament writers, they acknowledge that the term Psalms refers to the book of Psalms. So what are we to sing? We are to sing the book of Psalms. Now what else? Well, we have the term hymns. Now, what does it mean, hymns? What is that? Are those are they the hymns that we sing, like Amazing Grace and Can It Be? No. In this context, the term hymns is another name for the book of Psalms. The Psalms in general are called hymns. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He sat with His disciples when they had the Passover or the institution of the Lord's Supper? In Psalm 26, verse 30, we read, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Now, interestingly, in this verse, That clause, "when they had sung a hymn," in Greek it's only one word. It's hymnisantes. Hymnisantes. Right away you can sense the word hymn. Hymnisantes. It's a participle. Literally, it means hymning. Hymning. So Jesus and the disciples, they were hymning. So by implication, they were not just singing one hymn. They were hymning. It could be that they were singing many hymns. And we all know that in the Jewish context, whenever they would celebrate the Passover, they would sing Psalms 113 through 118. And so they were hymning. They were singing hymns. What are those hymns? They are the Psalms. Particularly Psalms 113 through 118. So again, in this context, hymns refer to Psalms. Now how about spiritual songs? Well, same. Spiritual songs are meant the same Psalms. So in conclusion, Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs mean the same thing. They refer to the book of Psalms. And we see the two in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So what are we to sing? What should we sing? Well, based on this verse, we are to sing the psalms, the words of the Lord. This is one of the arguments used by those who believe in exclusive psalmody. They would say, look, we are to sing the psalms. We are to sing from the book of Psalms. They believe that the Psalms are the hymn book for the New Testament church. And that is true, actually. That is true. Because it would be anachronistic to suggest that we are to sing hymns like what we have now here, because those hymns were not written during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is our position in our federation? Well, we don't believe in exclusive psalmody, obviously, because we have hymns. So we are, if you may, if you want to coin a term, we are inclusive psalmody. That is to say, we also include hymns. But interestingly, in our church order, listen to this, please. In our church order, Article 39, we read, the 150 psalms shall have the principal place in the singing of the churches. You want me to repeat that again? The 150 psalms, so referring to the book of Psalms, shall have the principal place in the singing of the churches. Hymns which are faithfully and fully reflect the teaching of the Scripture as expressed in the three forms of unity may be sung, provided they are approved by the consistory. So in our federation, yes, we are not exclusive psalmodists because we sing hymns, but we give priority to the singing of psalms. I do believe that the psalms should be our main diet in singing. When you sing from the book of Psalms, you cannot go wrong. You're safe. However, our federation, our church order, allows also the singing of hymns, given that they are faithful and they fully reflect the teaching of the Word of God as expressed in the three forms of unity. And they should be approved by our consistory. That's why if you want, if you come to me or to your elder and you say, you know, we should sing this, we need to examine that song carefully. Even in our hymn singing, you know, we part of our tradition in our church in the evening service, prior to worship service, we have 10 minutes of hymn singing. We cannot just sing any songs. After all, if the reason why we sing is so that we may be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, you want to make sure that you're going to have a proper diet. You want to make sure that you're going to sing the right songs. Because if you sing a wrong song, you will not be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid that you will be filled with emotionalism or you name it. You will end up with being filled with poisonous wine, as it were, figuratively speaking. So we want to make sure that we are singing the right songs. That's why, you know, it's so fascinating, because when you go to Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is imperative. The command here is, be saturated with the word of Christ. Now, how do you attain that? Same question that we asked when we encountered the term or the command, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have the same answer here. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, you want to be filled with the Word of Jesus Christ? You want the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly? Then you sing hymns. You sing psalms. You sing spiritual songs. You don't want to sing Songs that will destroy your soul. Songs that will lead you to false theology. You want to make sure that you sing sound, scripturally based hymns, even hymns. Now, how should we sing? How should we sing? Well, first of all, here we read, sing with thankfulness. With thankfulness. You know, whenever you read the book of Psalms, usually a psalmist will state his problem. I have this problem. And then he would come to the Lord and the Lord would help him, deliver him from his trial, from his sin, guilt, shame. And then the psalmist will conclude with singing as an expression of his gratitude to the Lord. And really, that's what we do when we worship God. We want to worship God by singing songs of praise out of gratitude to Him with thankfulness. Because you are filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, with the joy of salvation. Even if you don't know how to sing, you cannot but help, but really sing to the Lord. Even if you are not a professional singing or singer. I remember this story told by Paul Eaton, which illustrates the meaning of redemption. When A.J. Gordon was pastor of a church in Boston, he met a young boy in front of the sanctuary carrying a rusty cage in which several birds fluttered nervously. And so Gordon asked this young boy, "Son, where did you get those birds?" The boy replied, "I trapped them out in the field." "Oh, what are you going to do with them?" "Well, I'm going to play with them, and then I guess I will just feed them to our cat we have at home." So Gordon offered to buy the birds, and the boy exclaimed, "Mister, you don't want them. You don't want these birds. They are just little old wild birds, and they cannot sing very well." So Gordon replied, "That's fine. I will give you $2 for the cage and the birds." "Okay, it's a deal," said the young boy. "But you're making a bad bargain." So the exchange was made and the boy went away whistling, happy with his coins. And Gordon walked around to the back of the church property. He opened the door of that cage and let all those birds, all those struggling, sad birds, soar into the blue. The next Sunday, he took the empty cage into the pulpit and used it to illustrate his sermon about Christ coming to seek and to save the lost, paying for them with his own precious blood. So Pastor Gordon said to his congregation, "That boy told me that the birds were not singers or songsters. But when I released those birds and when they winged their way heavenward, it seemed to me those birds were singing, 'Free, free, free, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed.'" You and I have been held captive to sin, but Christ has purchased our pardon and set us free. And so when a person has this life-changing experience, he will want to sing, "Free, free, free." Just as what we sang, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free." You see, if you are a true child of God, you have experienced this freedom. The Lord has set you free. How can you not sing to God? And so we sing with gratitude to Him. And I ask you this morning, have you been set free? If yes, don't you want to sing to God with thankfulness? Could it be that one of the reasons why you don't want to sing to God is because you remain in that cage? you remain under the bondage of sin. Maybe you are not yet free. And so you have nothing to be thankful for to the Lord. Let us sing with gratitude to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of music and also for the songs that you have given to us in your word. We pray that we would sing indeed the words of your word. And we thank you too for having given us gifted hymn writers such as Fanny J. Crosby, Charles Wesley, and others, Isaac Watts. We thank you, Lord, for them and for the hymns that they have given to us. Lord, help us indeed to sing of your mercies. Help us to praise you, honor you, and to sing from our hearts with understanding, and to sing to you, to sing Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory, for you have done great things to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.